Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Tesla shares drop after a judge nixes CEO Elon Musk's compensation plan. Plus, Google and Microsoft report earnings to investors increasingly expecting AI-driven profits after billions in new investments.
We're still looking to see what is going to be the payoff. Is that going to be a multi-year process or is it going to come quickly? Do a lot of customers decide to buy into this technology right now or do they wait and see?
And Novo Nordisk ups production of its blockbuster Wegovy weight loss drug. It's Wednesday, January 31st. I'm Luke Vargas for The Wall Street Journal, and here is the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. A Delaware judge has struck down Elon Musk's $55.8 billion pay package at Tesla after finding the process for securing its approval, quote, deeply flawed. Chancellor Kathleen McCormick cited Musk's extensive ties with board members who negotiated his most recent pay deal, which shareholders approved in 2018. Tesla shares fell more than 2% in after-hours trading Tuesday. The decision marks a major setback for the chief executive of the world's most valuable automaker, and it could mean that Tesla will have to draft a new compensation package for Musk, throwing into question how he should be rewarded. It also draws greater scrutiny around whether Musk's ties to his board are too close and puts greater attention on his personal wealth. Europe's most valuable company, Novo Nordisk, has roared past the $500 billion valuation mark following a bumper earnings report, making it only the second European company to ever do so. Shares in the maker of weight loss drug Wegovy rallied after its profit beat expectations, and it gave a bullish outlook for sales in the coming year. Journal reporter Dominic Chopping says investors were particularly keen to hear about Novo's plans for ramping up production.
They're going to start increasing supplies of Wegovy in the US. They've been restricting those supplies to make sure that patients that are currently on the medication could have access. Now, the problem they faced is it's not just Wegovy that's seen this surging demand. A lot of patients have been turning to Novo Nordisk's Ozempic drug, which is only actually approved to treat type 2 diabetes. But as it shares the same active ingredient as Wegovy, patients have been using it off-label to treat weight loss. They've previously said they're going to invest around $6 billion to boost production capacity. So sales-wise, it's expecting growth of kind of 18 to 26% this year. But despite that, it still expects periodic supply constraints and drug shortages to continue this year.
And the good news in pharma isn't confined to Novo Nordisk today, as Britain's GSK also beat analyst estimates this morning after seeing a 25% quarterly jump in its vaccine sales, driven by its best-selling shingles vaccine and the launch of an RSV vaccine. As a result, GSK upgraded its near-term outlook and added more than $6 billion a year to its sales outlook for 2031 compared to its prior estimates. It's a sign of improving momentum for a company that for years contended with an ailing R&D pipeline and lagged its competitors in its research productivity. Coming up, more earnings as we crunch the numbers from tech giants Google and Microsoft, the latter of which now has 3 trillion reasons to continue capitalizing on AI and keep on growing. We've got that story and much more after the break.
Join the Wall Street Journal at the Future of Everything Festival on May 21st to 23rd in New York City, where diverse global newsmakers share unique perspectives on navigating a changing world. Immerse yourself in live performances, explore pioneering technologies, and indulge in the city's inventive culinary scene. As a podcast listener, enjoy 20% off current ticket rates with code PODCAST. Visit wsj.com/FOEF podcast to secure your spot.
Two tech giants have kicked off a banner week for the Magnificent Seven as Microsoft and Google released their quarterly earnings. Microsoft recorded its highest profit growth in more than 2 years, while Google saw strong growth in its cloud computing business. And yet both stocks have slipped off trade, with their recent stock run revealing how results that are anything less than perfect could be risky for their share prices. So writes Heard on the Street tech columnist Dan Gallagher, who joins me now to unpack these latest results. Dan, let's start with Microsoft, which is heading into the second year, really, now of AI being the theme that investors are really obsessing over and building sky-high expectations around, it seems.
Yeah, and I think we saw all those dynamics play out tonight here because Microsoft has been the early mover on AI. Their stock really has gone up. They become the second company ever to reach a $3 trillion valuation. And their results were good. But it's still really early to see a lot of payoff on AI because this was the last report of 2023. They've only been launching these services, but they're starting to quantify at least some impact. In Azure, their public cloud service, AI helped 6 points of growth there. And that's a bigger disclosure than I think we had from Google or from anybody else here. So today's report kind of solidified their image as the leader right now.
Google, though, is catching up, or at least making a lot of headlines with their AI efforts lately. Where do they stand?
Well, I think they had a pretty decent report, too. They saw their cloud revenue do better this quarter, and cloud is where AI is going to first start paying off for Google. The challenge with Google, they still make 3/4 of their revenue from advertising. And the advertising business was, depending on how you frame it, like slightly disappointing to Wall Street's expectations. And so because both Google and Microsoft stocks have been up a lot, you're seeing the sell-off in Google following these results. Relative to Microsoft, Microsoft is only down a little bit. Google's down like about 6% following the results. They're both dealing with the problem of high expectations, but that was kind of a bigger problem for Google this time.
Remind us, if you could, quickly how AI is fitting into the product offerings of both of these companies. We actually spoke to the president of Microsoft a few months ago who was telling us about how they're putting AI into their business suite of services, a relatively straightforward application of that technology. How else is Microsoft integrating AI, and what about Google's efforts?
Well, Microsoft came out of the gate early on and said they were going to integrate AI into their web search, their business that competes directly with Google's core. That was early this year. But the real pot of gold for Microsoft is how they adopt it in their really big business of selling software to businesses. Their big thing is this thing called Copilot, which is like an enhanced digital assistant that plugs into all kinds of their different software offerings. You're talking about Excel and Word and things like Dynamics, which help companies keep track of customers, and programming tools they have. I mean, Microsoft sells so much software across the board, and plugging in tools like Copilot in various ways to kind of help automate routine functions and so forth, they think they're going to have a lot of customers that are willing to pay for that. So they benefit from having a pretty clear value proposition early on for what is their main business. Relative to Google and web search, there's still a lot of questions like, what does generative AI do for web search? Can they sell ads at a higher price? How does that impact? All that is still a question right now, and we're not quite seeing that effect yet.
We should note, Google is also integrating AI tools into their enterprise offerings, though, as you said earlier, this is a company where those sales just constitute a smaller portion of their overall revenue.
Exactly. Like G Suite software, that competes a lot with like what Microsoft has with Office. These are both word processing, spreadsheets, and so forth. And Google's selling tools for that as well. But yes, it's a much smaller part of their overall business. I think for Google to really have generative AI move the needle in a big way, it's going to have to come into their advertising business in a big way. That's still 3/4 of their revenue.
All right, so it sounds like they will be spending a lot to continue to innovate here, Microsoft as well. So at the very least, both of these companies are going to be judged quite closely, I imagine, on how sound those investments actually are.
For sure, Google spent $11 billion in the fourth quarter in capital expenditures. That's a record amount, more than they've ever spent in a single quarter. And even Microsoft has been spending about $9 to $10 billion a quarter in CapEx. Less than a year ago, they were spending about $6 to $7 billion. And both companies said very clearly today that they're going to be increasing their spending this year because they have to buy these very expensive chips from companies like NVIDIA and AMD and other types of equipment and gear to power generative AI services. We're still looking to see what is going to be the payoff. Is that going to be a multi-year process or is it going to come quickly? Do a lot of customers decide to buy into this technology right now or do they wait and see? And I think that's the big question hanging over them both right now, especially with the huge valuations both now command. I mean, Microsoft and Google Alphabet together are worth $5 trillion in market value. And it's far ahead of what they were a year ago. So I think we're getting at the point now where investors are going to want to see, okay, how's this actually doing? Instead of just money going out the door, is money going to be coming in the door?
I have been speaking to Wall Street Journal Heard on the Street tech columnist Dan Gallagher. Dan, thanks as always.
Thank you for having me.
And with earnings season now in full gear, we want to hear what questions you've got about what the results mean for certain companies or industries or for the market as a whole. Or if you're noticing certain buzzwords showing up in earnings calls and would like a little backstory on them. Whatever's on your mind, send us a note or even better, record a voice memo on your phone and send that to us at wnpod@wsj.com. That's WNPOD at wsj.com. Or you can leave us a voicemail at 212-416-4328. Whoever you reach out, just be sure to include your name and location because we might use it on the show. An Iraqi militia suspected of involvement in a drone strike that killed three American soldiers over the weekend has said it was suspending attacks on U.S. forces in Iraq and Syria, though the leader of the Iranian-backed group called the move temporary and warned against hostile American action. The announcement comes as the Biden administration weighs a possible military response, underscoring growing alarm in the region that a U.S. reprisal could escalate into a direct confrontation between the U.S. and Iran. President Biden said Tuesday that the U.S. held Iran responsible but didn't seek war with Tehran. Iran has denied any involvement. Could TikTok soon get a lot quieter? The world's largest music company, Universal Music Group, which represents the likes of Taylor Swift, Olivia Rodrigo, and Drake, says it will stop licensing content to the social media app today if it fails to reach a new contract. Universal alleges that TikTok proposed paying artists and songwriters at a fraction of the rate other social platforms pay, and that TikTok tried to intimidate it by selectively removing the music of certain developing artists while keeping bigger artists on the platform. A TikTok spokeswoman described that narrative as false and said Universal had chosen to walk away from the free promotion and discovery opportunities that were presented by the platform's over 1 billion users. The journal's Joe Wallace told me that while TikTok has gained an outsized importance for the music industry in recent years, it doesn't actually generate that much revenue.
Universal said in a letter to artists that TikTok contributes about 1% of its revenue. For Universal, the exposure drives listeners to streaming platforms where both the artist and Universal earns more money. But revenue growth is now beginning to slow, and so Universal and its competitors are increasingly looking to license their catalogs on social media. TikTok, on the other hand, would be left with quite the task on its hands if the deals lapse. It would be responsible for removing billions of videos from its app that contain music from Universal's recorded music and publishing catalog.
And finally, we've been reporting lately about softening demand for electric vehicles that's led a number of U.S. carmakers to dial back their EV expansion plans as they contend with potential buyers who are held back by high upfront costs and other anxieties. Well, a German startup called Finn is hoping to turn those hurdles to EV adoption into a business opportunity by offering car subscriptions that let customers rent a vehicle for as little as 6 months as they decide whether to make a permanent switch to electric. Rochelle Toplensky runs the WSJ Pro Sustainable Business Team, and she told me that Finn is hoping to succeed where others failed.
There was a British company called Onto. They were basically offering EV subscriptions as well. And they went into administration in September. And they said it was because of a sharp fall in resale prices of EVs, as well as the rising interest rates. So Finn says that it's mitigating that risk by basically buying direct from dealers, agreeing with those dealers up front what the resale price will be, and pricing each and every subscription so that it's profitable.
Though Rochelle told me that that business model doesn't address every challenge presented by the switch to electric.
Obviously, anyone that is subscribing to an EV will still be facing the same problems of, do they have a charger at home? Where is the charger network? How is that working? Is it reliable? All those sorts of range anxiety issues and charger network challenges will still be there for them. And on top of that, if Finn actually really succeeds in persuading a bunch of people to dive in and buy their own EV, it's sort of a question of where that leaves Finn's business model maybe in the longer term.
And that is what's news for this Wednesday morning. Today's show was produced by Kate Bullivant. Our supervising producers are Sandra Kilhoff and Christina Rocha. And I'm Luke Vargas for The Wall Street Journal. We will be back tonight with a new show. Until then, thanks for listening.